Altuve not going, 3-2, and Correa hits this one out in the right center field, and that one's going to get down for a base hit. Altuve is on his way to third base, and Altuve around third and coming home. Here's a throw to the plate by Gregorius. It's dropped by Sanchez. Altuve scores, and the Astros win it 2-1. Carlos Correa, the hero.
Now, another Astros podcast.
Correa mobbed by second base. He drives in both Astros runs, and the Astros go up 2-0 in the ALCS.
The mob scene in shallow center field of Astros players, some hugging Altuve, some all over Correa. The double play partners getting it done offensively for the Astros to put the Astros up 2-0 going to the NY, and Verlander with a complete game victory. He's won all 8 games he's appeared in as a Houston Astro.
Astros 2-1 winners over the Yankees and go up 2-0 in the ALCS. And we're joined now in the Astros dugout on the Chick-fil-A Houston postgame show by Josh Reddick. And one of the key plays in this game was by you, Josh. Chase Headley driving one deep to right. You leapt, came close, looked like close to a home run. Definitely would have been an extra base hit, but you made a great catch to keep the Yankees off the scoreboard there.
Yeah, I mean, with Headley, we're playing him a little bit in the gap. He's not really known for much pull power. I mean, not pull power, but pulling the ball a whole lot. So ended up being in a good spot, playing him a little bit deep because he's a lefty. You never know when he's going to get one over you. So I just tried to make a nice, calm route, use the padding to my advantage. And this time I made sure I used two hands. I didn't want to have a replay of what happened last series.
Hey, Josh, how much are you digging the aggressiveness of Gary Pettis, the third base coach?
I love it. You got Altuve. He's our fastest guy. And you got to run that risk. We haven't been scoring a whole lot of runs lately. You got to push the issue right there. So not surprising to see him go right there. We had Correa at second just in case something happened and a good hitter behind him in Marwin. But not surprised at all. We wanted to get a 2-0 lead coming in here, and that's what we did. So you got to tip your cap to him.
And how about the job, talking about tipping your cap, Justin Verlander playing behind him today. Just a great performance by Verlander.
He's something else, isn't he? I mean, he goes out there magical. You don't send too many guys in the ninth with 100-plus pitches on the mound. But I don't think he was going to come out of that game. He wanted to get us in a good spot to win him a ball game and win ourselves a ball game. So he's magical out there, and nothing really surprises me anymore. I'm just glad I don't have to face him.
And, Josh, yeah, you have faced him in those types of situations. You know how much better he gets as the game goes along.
Sure do. He's, he's been the nail in my coffin for a better part of 2 years in 12 and 13. So I know how good he can be. He's really hard in the season, but he steps up about 4 steps whenever he gets to the postseason. He's really something special.
Thanks for joining us, Josh, and congratulations on the win.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Nice job, man. Charlie, how special is it to be in this position now, game 3 of the ALCS, and you're getting the start?
Yeah, well, it'll be the biggest game of my career. In a place I grew up coming as a kid to the old New York to Yankee Stadium. So it'll be special in that way, and to go out there with this group of guys.
Other questions for Charlie? Right here.
What did you think of what Dallas and Justin did to get this thing started for the Astros? And I don't know if inspired by that is the proper term, but can you draw anything from what they've done?
Yeah, well, in reference to baseball and in inspiration and watching that in person, it was incredible to see Dallas go out and do what he did. And then Justin yesterday, I mean, that was crazy. Yeah, it was one of those games where you're just kind of in awe because as the game went on, it's not getting any easier on Justin. It's the circumstances aren't making his job any easier. But, and I said this yesterday to a couple of people, he just got better. It was just incredible, the workload, the pitch count, the times that they saw him through the order. And for him to just go out there and just get better, it was incredible.
The third row middle, Mark.
Charlie, can you just expand a little bit about your experiences going to the old Yankee Stadium, who you went with, what were the experiences were like, and who did you like? Who were your players, who were your favorite players?
Well, I grew up a Yankee fan as a guy that grew up in the tri-state area. I listened to, sports radio, all that, and the 660, And I remember going to Legends Field in Tampa. My parents took us down there. Went to Wild World Sports to see the Braves spring training. So I always looked up to the pitchers with the Braves, and as somewhat of a local guy, the Yankees. So whenever we got a chance to come into the city, just to come in the city, you know, that was special, and then go see a ball game. That was awesome for me because I was a huge baseball fan, and so I never did get a chance to play there, but to be here and on this stage is incredible for me. It's special.
Do you have a favorite Yankee?
I think Derek Jeter was my favorite. I love a lot of the pitchers. I remember going and when they signed Roger Clemens. I remember seeing his bullpen when he showed up at spring training down there. Andy Pettit, David Cone, and so many guys. You know, when I was little, I remember really wanting a Don Mattingly rookie card, and I never got it. But you know, just being a fan of the game, and I think the last time that I came or I went to the old Yankee Stadium, I saw the Braves play. And I remember Chipper Jones hitting a home run off of, I think it was Ramiro Mendoza. And that was my last memory of it.
You're right, Charlie.
Charlie, hey. After you signed with the Astros, or as you're making your decision, did you envision the team getting this far? Did you envision yourself pitching in the championship series or even the World Series for this team?
No. I think I've always struggled to have lofty goals and expectations for myself, and getting to this point personally on this team. I mean, when I signed, I was like, you know, this team is great. This team is built to not get to October, deep in October. But personally, I'm not envisioning myself. You know, I'm doing is I'm day to day. I'm thinking, what can I do to help this team? Am I taking care of what I need to take care of in the off season? Am I getting my work done? Am I putting myself in the best position to help my team win? So those kinds of things, those are more like a dream, and it's becoming a reality because here we are. But no, to be honest with you, not for me personally. I really just wanted to, coming off a season, I came off of last year where I have surgery in April, missed the rest of the year. I was really just trying to be a contributor and just help the team win.
You're right, Charlie. Jake?
Your numbers against left-handed hitters this year are significantly better than the past. What did you change this year specifically in that regard?
Well, not only are they better, I think they're really, really good, like in terms of the league and right-handed pitching. And I think the biggest change for me was Bob McClure and Rick Kranitz sat me down last year, and we were at Citi Field, and they sat me down in the video room, and they showed me my average against on curveball. And they said, hey, you need to throw this pitch more, not just 6-7% more, but we're talking like 15% more. Just keep throwing it. And when I got here, that's what Stromme really hammered home with me. And it was the first few days of spring training, throw your curveball more. And I've really limited my use of my sinker against lefties. I've thrown a lot more four-seamers. I've thrown way more curveballs. I've incorporated a cutter. So I don't know what my numbers are in terms of each individual pitch against lefties, but I know that I don't feel like I'm backed into a corner when before I did. I felt like if a lefty stepped in the box, I had to be that much better. You know, I would get a copy of the lineup before a game, and I would see 7-8 lefties stacked against me. And it just made the idea of going out there and trying to pitch deep into a game even more difficult to envision, because I was a sinker guy throwing 60-70% sinkers, and they were hitting my sinker. So the game plan has changed too. You know, the idea that I'm going to make these guys put the ball in play and try to induce soft contact, that's out the window. Lefties, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to let them hit the ball. At least I'm not trying to encourage them to hit the ball. Whereas before I was, because the assumption being, you have a good sinker, you're getting the ball on the ground. Well, that wasn't the case. So lots of four seams, curveballs, and cutters.
Your left, Charlie Richard.
Charlie, what's it been like to watch these past two games and the way you guys have sort of done a clinic on defense and base running, all the little things you need to do to win 2-1 games? What's it been like to watch your teammates do this?
Well, for me, it's more emotional than objective. I'm watching these games, and I mean, when it got to the, you know, 6th, 7th inning yesterday, that was, I think, for a lot of the guys in there, as far as emotions go on in a baseball stadium for a player, I mean, it was incredible. So it's just more of a rush than anything. Like I was saying, you watched Justin go out there and do what he did yesterday. Just put it all on the line, and no fear. The situation was such a tight game. It could go either way, and then for him to, I say battle, but it was just a persistent attack, and for him to do that for as long as he did it, and the guys making plays behind him, you know, Reddick's play yesterday, I think. I mean, the catch that he made in right, but even more the quick pickup of that ball in right, fired it in, and just that turn, Carlos. And I want to say it's surprising, it's standing out, but it really doesn't. These guys are doing that daily. They're doing those things daily. So, I mean, this is a great team. I'm humbled to be a part of it.
You're right, Charlie. Fred?
Charlie, I just wanted to ask two things. One, just being relatively healthy this year, I mean, after last year, how much, you know, even mentally did that help you? And secondly, according to Wikipedia, your family's part of the Morton Steakhouse. Is that true?
No.
No, it isn't.
I don't blame you for that, because I'm not saying it. So, No. I wore a brisket shirt here today. I feel like I might know who the culprit is, but I don't want to say so, because there's a former Pirate that loved to get on Wikipedia. Former right-handed relief pitcher that threw a lot of sinkers. He was really tall. And I'm not saying that was him either, because I don't have the facts. But yeah, well, I started to run into health problems early on in my major league career. I really didn't get hurt a whole lot in the minor leagues. I was really fortunate in that regard, but I just wasn't a very good pitcher. And then when I finally got to the big leagues, the physical part of it took its toll, and I had a hip surgery at the end of 2011. I had TJ in 2012. I had another hip at the end of 2014, my right hip, and then I had the hamstring. Last year I've had injuries that have kept me off the field and not necessarily put me on an operating room table. But this year there have been nagging things that I feared were worse than they were because of the past experiences. You know, you just assume sometimes the worst because the past is – encourage you to believe that it might be something worse, but the ball stayed true coming out of my hand. My arm speed has stayed consistent. My rotations have been good, and my body feels good. And I attribute a lot of that to the work that our workout group did last off season, this past off season. In Bradenton, Florida, down at Athletic Edge. Mike Goff owns it. Andrew Emick, who's a AAA strength coach for the Brewers, he runs our group that's down there. And that was the first time, after the 2015 season, that was the first time I worked out there. And my body just feels better. I just feel stronger. My mechanics feel better. I feel more on time. I feel like I can I have higher amounts of torque. I can let the ball go, and it comes out clean, and I look up and I'm throwing hard all game. You know, it's, to be honest with you, a weird feeling because I'm not used to that, but health, yeah, and no doubt about it.
I'll try to do three more. Ron, right here.
Pitching in a ballpark like this, do you have to be cognizant of the right field porch and adapt to it?
Well, you have that problem in Houston. You have that problem in a lot of places. I mean, I pitched quite a few games in Great American Ballpark, and I always felt that that could play to the advantage of somebody that gets a lot of ground balls and line drives. The outfielders have less ground to carry or cover. The problem, though, is this year I've been giving up more fly balls. My sinker really hasn't been as ground ball heavy as it has been. So while you can't necessarily pitch that way with a fear of the ball going out to a certain part of the park, for sure, in some ways, you know, if you're facing a hitter in a certain situation and you that could definitely hurt you with the long ball, I don't see a reason why that wouldn't apply into the way you throw to them. But at the same time, when you're out there, you have to pitch to your strengths. You have to attack the hitters. So, yeah, I guess I would say it might be present in the back of my mind, but I don't think it would overly dictate the way I throw.
We'll take one last one as AJ is here.
Right. Getting back on back when you were growing up in the Yankees, two-part thing, Charlie. One, do you recall getting any autographs as a kid from some Yankee players? And two, what is this like for your family to be pitching here? Whether it's not the same place, but it's the same city, same team. What's it like for your family?
Well, one of my strongest memories is of a day we went to the stadium in Tampa and during spring training, and it was raining and there was nobody out in the field except for one guy who was running. There's a field on the first base side of the stadium, outside the stadium, and he was walking into the stadium, and there's a walkway that goes from left field corner underneath a bridge into the stadium, and it was Joe Girardi. And we ran out there, and it was raining, and you know, I'm assuming he was trying to get back in, and I remember him signing for my sister and I. And then the other was, there's a Bahama Breeze that's up, I can't remember exactly where it is. It's somewhere Tampa Bay area. And we're standing there waiting for a table. My family was there. And Derek Jeter walks in, and my sister was a huge Derek Jeter fan, so she got excited. My parents were like, oh my goodness, it's Derek Jeter. So she walked up to him, and she said, hey, can I have your autograph, or can I have a picture with you? And he said, only if you smile or something, you know, like just being a good dude. And those are two of the more vivid memories that I have. Of.
What's it like for your family? Here,
these guys. I mean, I can't speak for them exactly, but I know that the Yankees were the team that we followed growing up. My dad grew up in Syosset, Long Island, and we grew up in Trumbull and Reading, Connecticut, which is hour 30 depending on traffic, and this was our team. You know, this was the team that we pulled for. I mean, I rooted for the Mets because they struggled, and I followed the Red Sox because we were a New England family, but being so close to here, you know, it was the Yankees. So this is special.
Charlie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a production.
And whoever in this crowd wasn't standing before, well, they're getting to their feet now.
Of the Houston Astros.
This place is rocking right now.
Radio Network.